Over the last few weeks, the New South Wales government has seemingly taken hit after hit to its reputation and credibility. A parliamentary inquiry into a senior trade commission posting for former Deputy Premier John Barilaro has revealed a process anything but at arm's length. Another minister has been sacked for alleged bullying, and concerns around the conduct of her office referred to ICAC. Then at the end of last week, an independent review delivered a blistering assessment of the state parliament's workplace culture, including several allegations of attempted rape. Matt Keane is the New South Wales Treasurer and Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party, and he joins us now. Matt Keane, welcome.
Patricia, good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
There are reports this morning your cabinet colleague, David Elliott, is blaming you for industrial action by transport workers. He's your cabinet colleague. He's a minister in your government. Are you responsible for his inability to strike a deal with rail workers?
Look, Patricia, David Elliott is the transport minister. He has responsibility for that area of government. I'm the Minister for Energy and the Treasurer. I'm focused on my responsibilities, but I'm not going to provide running commentary on these embarrassing outbursts, so I'm just not going to contribute anything further.
They are embarrassing, aren't they?
As I said, I'm not going to contribute anything further. The Premier's made it clear about the behaviour he expects of his ministers, and I intend to meet my obligations that the Premier set out.
Okay, but he blames you. You are the Treasurer, so he has some point, doesn't he? I mean, you're in charge of the money, if I can be blunt.
Well, let's be very clear. The unions have obviously been negotiating in bad faith. They threatened us over the new intercity fleet trains. So we are now spending more than $1 billion of taxpayer funds to change what is a perfectly safe train. We're being required to rip out CCTV cameras, sensor technology after these trains were deemed to be safe, yet the unions are still going on strike. And now they've opened the opal gates across the network, and it's taxpayers who'll end up footing the bill. This is Labor politics at its worst in an election year, and it's absolutely not acceptable.
Okay, but he says, this is your cabinet colleague, that you're a boy doing a man's job. How's your relationship with the transport minister broken down? How can your government function when two cabinet ministers are really at odds like this publicly?
Look, I'm focused on my responsibilities. I'm not going to comment on these embarrassing outbursts. I'm not going to contribute anything further.
Should he keep his job?
That's a matter for the Premier.
What have you told the Premier?
I've told the Premier that I'm focused on my responsibilities, which I'll continue to do, Patricia.
You must have told the Premier how you feel about these outbursts.
I'm focused on my responsibilities, and that is making sure that we deliver a stronger and more prosperous state for everyone, and that's my job as the Treasurer of New South Wales.
Now, let's talk about this review into the workplace culture of New South Wales Parliament. It is scathing. It reports on some serious accusations of sexual harassment, sexual assault, bullying. How have these things been allowed to get this bad? How can the culture become so toxic?
Well, I want to make it clear from the outset that there is no place for bullying, harassment or other misconduct in any workplace, let alone in the New South Wales Parliament. And we've got a responsibility to lead by example. And clearly from the Broderick report, we've got a lot of work to do. It's clear that the Parliament has some serious issues to address. So the New South Wales government will fully support the Parliament to implement all of the recommendations of the Broderick report. I know the Liberal Party has already taken some steps to address these issues. We've taken action within ministerial workplaces to implement the recommendations of the Goward review released last year. But there's a lot more work to do right across the Parliament, and I intend to be part of supporting the work to make sure we clean up our workplace and make it a safe place for everyone.
Has anyone ever come to you with any of these kinds of issues, or have you heard of them?
No, and if I'd seen some of the actions mentioned in the report, then I would have taken immediate action and the police would have been involved. That behaviour is not on, and I hope any victims are getting justice. The Broderick Review highlights the importance of confidential processes to ensure complainants are confident to speak up and are not silenced by fear. We need to make sure that people do feel confident to speak up. And certainly if they do come to me, I will be taking the appropriate action. And I would have taken the appropriate action had it been the case in the past.
The Premier, Dominic Perrottet, has labelled the findings unacceptable and has promised change. What will the change look like? And what will those first steps be?
Well, I think there's a number of behaviours that need to change. I mean, the review recommended the Parliament should develop an alcohol policy, for example. I support that work. I think there are a number of other changes that have been proposed. But what we need to see is the type of behaviour that's been called out stamped out. We need it stamped out. It has no place in the New South Wales Parliament or any workplace across this state. That's why we need to make sure that it's a safe place for everyone, and I intend to be part of making sure that's absolutely the case.
How should the Parliament address power imbalances between staffers and MPs, and should there be a formal independent structure to handle accusations of inappropriate workplace behaviour, like mirroring the sort of thing that we're seeing happen now in the federal Parliament?
Yes, I think we're going to work through those issues, but, you know... Obviously, a number of workplaces have power imbalances, not just in the Parliament, but right across workplaces in New South Wales. We need to make sure that those power imbalances aren't leading to toxic outcomes like we've seen in this Broderick report. So we need to be making sure that our workplaces are safe places. And if power imbalances are contributing to that, then we need to review structures and putting in place the strategies to ensure that everyone can feel safe and that these power imbalances aren't leading to perverse outcomes.
The report also looks at the underrepresentation of women and diverse cohorts in formal decision-making roles. It recommends including strengthening and resourcing work on diversity and inclusion. Do you back that, and how should that be done?
We've got a long way to go, Patricia. We need to make sure that our parliaments and our political parties are representative of the communities that we're looking to serve. So we need to, certainly in the Liberal Party, reform our pre-selection processes to ensure that we're getting a more representative body of people into our party and into our parliament. I'm obviously now the deputy leader of the New South Wales Liberal Party, and that's something that I intend to pursue with vigour as we head to our pre-selection rounds. But all parties have work to do here. The Liberal Party has made a very clear steps to address some of these issues. We're committed to working with my parliamentary colleagues to ensure that Parliament is a safe and welcoming environment for everyone. And I expect the Parliament will take some steps, but I also haven't seen what the other party's response is so far. But I'm sure Labor and the Greens, the Shooters and One Nation and the Animal Justice Party will also be taking some action. We've all got a responsibility to make sure Parliament is a safer and more inclusive place for everyone.
Absolutely. It's a parliamentary-wide. This isn't just a report into the Liberal Party, to be very clear. It's about the Parliament and lots of behaviours in that Parliament. I want to go to this story on John Barilaro. Former Deputy Premier John Barilaro says the process that resulted in him being given the New York Trade Commissioner posting was not as clean as it should have been, but is a victim, not a perpetrator. Is he a victim?
No, I don't think John's a victim. I think that, you know, he's applied for a job here, a public job, and that obviously is coming with a significant degree of scrutiny, as it should do. All of us in public life are subject to that scrutiny when it comes to the expenditure of public money or public positions, and that's part of the territory if you're going to put yourself forward for these roles.
And just on a breaking story this morning that we've been talking about on RN Breakfast all morning, what do you make of these reports? The Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, swore himself in as Resources Minister during the last term and used those powers to take steps to kill a controversial project off the New South Wales coast where Blue Ribbon seats were under threat from Teal independents.
Well, I mean, obviously the Prime Minister chooses his cabinet. I believe in cabinet and executive government, but the Prime Minister also is responsible for making sure that outcomes are achieved. And, you know, if he felt the need to protect the environment from, you know, offshore drilling for gas, you know, in Sydney's northern beaches, and he felt the steps necessary were to swear himself in as the minister, then that's something I support. I mean, PEP 11 was something that I was very concerned about, the impact that that would have on our environment and on our beaches. And I congratulate the Prime Minister for making the right call on that issue.
So you're the only one who's come on this show today and backed him swearing himself into that role. Don't you think it's a bit odd that he swore himself into the role because he didn't trust the decision his own minister would make?
I'm backing the decision to cancel the PEP 11 licence. I think that was the right call, and I congratulate the Prime Minister for making it.
Should we have known, though, that he'd sworn himself in?
I think so. I think transparency is important in public life. I think people want to know who is, at the end of the day, accountable for the decisions that are being made. But again, Patricia, I fully support the former Prime Minister's work in cancelling the PEP 11 licence. I think that's a good outcome for the environment. I think that's a good outcome for the community.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you as always, Patricia.
Matt Keane is the New South Wales Treasurer and Deputy Leader of the state's Liberal Party. You're listening to RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.